God is my shepherd, and I am his little lamb. He feeds me, he guides me. He looks after me and gives me everything I need. Inside my heart is very quiet as lying still in soft green grass in a meadow by a little stream. Even when I walk through the dark, scary, lonely places, I won't be afraid because my shepherd knows where I am. He is right here with me. He keeps me safe and he rescues me. He makes me strong and brave. He's getting wonderful things ready for me, especially for me, everything I ever dreamed of. He fills my heart so full of happiness, I can't hold it all inside. Wherever I go, I know God's never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love will go too. Just a beautiful little picture of reading the 23rd Psalm in a different way. Who knows the 23rd Psalm by heart? I think a lot of people had learned that as a child, but I just, yeah, want to look at it a bit more closely today because it's such a special psalm, and it's actually special to me on Mother's Day. It became a very special psalm to me when I was in the hospital preparing to be induced to give birth to my third child. And we all knew that, you know, giving birth is very painful. Any of us who've ever been through that know that that pain should really kill you. Like 10 out of 10 pain, this is like 50 out of 10, 100 out of 10 pain. And I always remember thinking, I always wanted to do my birth drug-free or, you know, painkiller-free. And the first two, there's no way. I just thought I should be dead from this pain. And the third one, I was so determined that I wanted to give birth drug-free. And so, as I said, I was in the hospital the day before I was about to be induced for the birth of my third child, and I was so determined to do it drug-free. And it just so happened, I was reading this book at the time, The Lord is My Shepherd by Elizabeth George, 12 Promises for Every Woman. And it just so happened that day I was reading the chapter, Though We Walk Through the Valley of the Shadow of Death, We Will Not Fear. And it was just an amazing promise to hold on to as I went through giving birth, which is like the valley of the shadow of death. And I really held on to that word through. See, God doesn't just lead us into the valley and leave us there. He will bring us through the valley of the shadow of death. And that hope, that promise that he would bring me through, that this pain would end and I'd have beautiful greener pastures, a beautiful child at the other end, just got me through that, and I did it, yay. So pain-free third child, didn't make any difference to him, but it's my claim to fame. No, God got me through that with that word through and that beautiful, beautiful promise. So Mother's Day and Psalm 23 go together for me. Now this is a just an amazing psalm for all of us, as we all know. I heard once another pastor prescribed the Psalm 23 to all his parishioners, and one in particular came into his office one day quite upset, quite anxious and worried about so many things, and he said, if you go to the doctor you'll be prescribed drugs, but I'm going to give you a prescription of a different kind, and I want you to take it just as prescribed. I want you to read Psalm 23 five times a day for 7 days. Take it exactly as prescribed. Don't say you're too hurried in the morning or, you know, you're just going to skim over it. You need to really meditate on it, really reflect on it, take in every word. And so this man went home and he read the 23rd Psalm when he woke up in the morning, after breakfast, after lunch, after dinner and before bed. And he came back a week later and he was a new man, totally changed his perspective. He was calm, he was peaceful, he was hopeful, he was full of faith. Because this psalm changes the way we think. It's a pattern of thinking that is really powerful and dynamic. It really represents a positive, hopeful, faith-filled perspective on life. We know it was written by David. Some people think that it was written when he was young as a shepherd boy. Other commentators and myself think it was when he was older, because he had so many tougher life experiences that you can see sort of reflected in that psalm himself. You know, the Bible refers to people being sheep over 200 times. We are all sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture. We, like sheep, have all gone astray. And so we all need a shepherd like David depicts. So I just love it that he was a shepherd. He could have depicted himself as a shepherd in the psalm, but he describes himself as a sheep, looking for the shepherd that he knows he needs. He knows he needs guidance. He knows he needs protection. He knows he needs provision from this amazing shepherd, as do we all. And so here we are with this psalm, and I'd like to take a little bit of a closer look. So it's like beginning with David just telling us, you know, say, hey, tell us about your shepherd. He goes, well, let me tell you about my shepherd. My shepherd is the Lord, Yahweh, the Creator God, the same God that spoke to Moses at the burning bush. He is my shepherd. I know him personally. He knows me by name. He talks to me. I've seen him. I just love him. I follow him. And he provides everything I need. I lack nothing. He leads me beside still waters and to green pastures. He protects me from my enemies. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's so significant, especially for sheep, because sheep don't easily lay down. Did you know that? Sheep won't lay down if they're afraid, if there's an enemy in the area, like a wolf, for example. They won't lay down if there's some tension among others in the flock. They won't lay down if they're hungry. So it's amazing that, you know, he makes his sheep lay down. He takes them to peaceful pastures where there's peace among people, or the sheep in this case, and they're well fed. Do you know, after World War II, there was a lot of homeless and hungry children. And so what they did was they got some camps together and brought all the kids in, and they fed them abundantly and cared for them abundantly. Yet these kids still wouldn't sleep. And so one psychologist came up with an idea that he'd give them all a piece of bread to hold on to as they went to sleep at night. They could have as much bread as they liked to eat. Even if they wanted to eat more, they could have more. But they just had to go to sleep holding a piece of bread, just knowing that they had food to eat the next day, enabled those kids to sleep. They all slept soundly, just knowing that they had a piece of bread to hold on to, knowing that they would have food the next day. In the same way, David is saying, the Lord leads him to green pastures where he's assured and can rest, because all those worries and fears are taken away. And don't we need rest too? When we rest and trust in our Lord, our shepherd, we can rest easily and trust him that he'll bring us, you know, to the next morning. We're safe, we're comforted. He brings us to green pastures. And it's funny, when we don't rest, sometimes he makes us lay down, doesn't he? A bit of illness is a bit of a forced rest in my mind. Sometimes I need that when I get sick and just have to lay down for a while. It's like God saying, you be still, just spend time with me. You know, you're doing too much. We need to be still and know God is God, to soak in his goodness and love, and rest and trust in his love. He's a good shepherd who meets all our needs. He watches over us, and he leads us to still waters so we can be refreshed. You know, sheep like camels can go a really long time without water, and then they can drink up to 9 litres at a time. So even if they're really thirsty, though, they won't drink from running water. Apparently, sheep are afraid of running water. And fair enough, too, they've got these big woolly coats. If they fell in, it would be like swimming in a big overcoat for us, you know, just really weigh them down. They're afraid of drowning. But their good shepherd doesn't laugh at their fears or make them, you know, drink from running streams. He finds still waters. And even if really still waters can't be found, a good shepherd would actually put rocks in just to make a little dam in a flowing stream, just so that these sheep can drink from still waters. Likewise, our good shepherd doesn't make fun of us and our weaknesses and our fears and vulnerabilities. He actually leads us to still waters where we can be refreshed, where we can grow, where we can be nourished. He ministers to us and understands our needs. The next verse, he restores our soul. I heard that when sheep lay down and lay too far over, they can land on their back with their little legs up in the air, which is a funny picture. Apparently they can't roll themselves back up. And so the shepherd would have to come and help them get right way back up, which is basically saving their lives, which is restoring their soul, which is the background to this verse. But we just know that God restores our soul. He restores our health when we need him to. And he just restores our soul and spirit just with his love. And he'll resurrect us one day too for all eternity. So there's a lot of significance there. But he also leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now this verse stood out to me the most this week. It just really jumped out at me. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, if we are his sheep and following Jesus, we want to be walking on the paths that are right for us, that he sets out for us. Because when we're wayward, when we go off and, you know, go on wayward paths and do things that don't actually give him glory and honour, that actually reflect badly on him, we're going to feel bad about ourselves. If we love the Lord and want to obey him and want to be seen as his sheep, if we want to follow him, we'll know that disappoints him as well as us. Because we want to love him and walk in his ways, in loving relationship and gratitude for his good leading. So let's walk in his right paths for his name's sake. It gives us purpose, it gives us honour, and it gives him glory. So when we know that he loves us, we'll follow him wherever he leads, even into that dark valley full of shadows, even though it's scary. Especially for sheep, going into a dark valley is scary for sheep. Sheep didn't actually like going downhill, and they have dim eyes. So to go from a bright, sunny day into a dark, shady valley could have been frightening for them. But even though they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, they and we will fear no evil, for God is with us. I won't touch more on that, as I've already given an illustration earlier. So moving on, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The staff was helpful for keeping the sheep on the right path. If they were going too close to a cliff's edge, the shepherd could just tap them back onto the path so they're walking safely, especially those round cliff edges. And that club, that rod, was used to keep predators away. If some animal attacked, the shepherd could fight off the animal with that, which keeps the sheep safe and reassured of their safety. Likewise, our shepherd has all he needs to take care of us. He's enough for us. He has more than enough for us. In his goodness and his mercy and his generosity and kindness, our shepherd prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Again, for sheep, that meant the shepherd would go to a pasture and pick out all the dangerous weeds that had grown over some season. Anything that could harm a sheep, he would just rip out of the ground, prepare that table for the sheep. But really in this psalm, David is moving to a image of going into the tent now, into the home. He's come home from the pastures. And he writes, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." Banqueters in the ancient world would be a generous host. They would give oil, fragrant oil, to their guests as they arrived, just so that it gave them a nice, you know, shine on their foreheads and lifted their countenance and left a nice fragrance in the home, just to make it the banquet so special. And then after the guests were welcomed like that, they were given a big glass of wine, with a sweet wine with honey in it, a generous amount, not just a little bit. And that's the image that we have here, that the guests in the shepherd's home, the guests in the host's home, the guests in the Lord's home have a lavish abundance poured out for them. Our cups overflow. We don't just have enough, we have more than enough. More than enough of God's kindness, more than enough of his generosity. And knowing that our good shepherd is this good, we can be assured that he will be that good all the days of our lives. And so, like David, we can declare, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Meaning, like David, we can always live in the Lord's presence. Now, a lot of the time we read this psalm at funerals, and we take hope and comfort in that, that dwelling in the house of the Lord forever is eternal life. And we can take it to mean that after Jesus Christ. But back in the day when David wrote it, he actually meant that he could continually go back to the temple and worship. And he was excited and anticipated the going back to the temple to worship and again and again and again. He wanted to worship in the house of God regularly. And so in this psalm, we have so much comfort and hope and reassurance and blessing. And I'd just like to read out another emphasis of all the blessings that we have in this psalm just before I finish up. So we'll have on the screen, the Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. I shall not want. That's supply. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's rest. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's refreshment. He restoreth my soul. That's healing. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. That's guidance. For his name's sake, that's purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's testing, I will fear no evil. That's protection. For thou art with me, that's faithfulness. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, that's discipline. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, that's hope. Thou anointest my head with oil, that's consecration. My cup runneth over, that's abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's blessing. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord. That's security. Forever. That's eternity. So friends, all these promises that are in this psalm are for us today. This is not a psalm for funerals. It's not a psalm for those who have died. It's a psalm for us who are living. It's full of God promises for us. And so if I could prescribe to you just to read this at least once a day for the next 7 days, let's see if it makes a difference in your life. Let's see if you can hold on to these promises and live as a faithful sheep following the good shepherd who loves you and has great plans for your life and wants to lead you in his ways of righteousness for his name's sake, for his purposes, for his glory, and for your own good. He has good plans for you. Let me pray. Lord, you're our good shepherd. We lack nothing. You make us lay down in green pastures. You lead us beside still waters. You refresh our souls. You guide each of us along paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And even when we walk through those dark valleys of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because you're with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. We thank you for your discipline, your protection. You prepare a table for each of us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint our head with oil. Our cups overflow. Lord, surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. And we will dwell in your house forever. Amen.